This is John Martinka with another episode of our Getting the Deal Done podcast series. And my special guest today is Adam Brochi with Odd Dog Media in Seattle. And the website is odd.dog. And Adam, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
So Adam is the founder of Odd Dog. And they are a digital marketing agency that does a lot of the things we know marketing agencies do, as well as generating leads for their clients. So, Adam, give us a brief overview of what you do for your clients.
Yeah, so we call it a digital marketing agency, but just think of it as like pretty much anything that happens marketing-wise on your screen is where we're going to specialize. So, you know, we don't necessarily get into radio. We don't do television as much. So our areas of specialty, you know, it kind of starts with the website design and development. So WordPress is a platform we know inside and out, and we can make that jump through any hoop we need it to. We'll do a lot of the branding and design to make sure our clients like look good when we're actually starting to create some of these online materials. And then once that's done, like the foundation is there, and now it's about generating new leads for our customers. And that goes from like search optimization, SEO as people call it. There's a little subset of that called local search optimization, which is an area of specialty for us. And that's really leveraging the locations a business has. You got the search ads, Google and Bing, social ads, you know, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, all those. Other parts, copywriting is a really big piece of it. There's so much information out on the internet right now that having better and more informative and more in-depth copy and content is becoming very important. Email marketing, once we get people to the website from all these, how well are we converting them and turning them into leads? So that conversion optimization. And we do a lot with the analytics and tracking behind the scenes. That gets pretty detailed and nuanced, but it's our favorite part about this entire list of things. And that's that you can measure what works. And so at the end of the day, our customers come to us wanting to pay us money so that they can hopefully make more money in return. And that's the goal of all of these things. And so we drive our strategy is like, what is going to be the most impactful for the money that we can do for these businesses?
Okay. Give me an example of the metrics and how you would go to a client and say, here's what is working and here's what is not. And I ask because, you know, and most people have heard the old advertising thing. We know half our advertising works. We just don't know which half. So how do you drill that down for them?
Yeah. So we first look at the ways in which someone contacts you. If you're in e-commerce, it's an online purchase. For most service businesses, it's going to be someone's filling out a form or calling you. And so we want to be sure we're measuring all those ways in which a customer might reach out and measuring how people originally got to you before they did that. With phone calls, it's tricky. We've got really cool systems that will actually show a different phone number for every user on your website. So we know exactly where they came from based on which number they routed through. And then, you know, the online form tracking that we can put into place. So we see for every person that fills out a form, do they come to us through a paid campaign or through our organic search? E-commerce gets even more detailed. That's more fun. But yeah, it's just about identifying how are they coming through and then making sure we have those measurements in place.
Okay. So you mentioned organic search. What would some tips be for the small business owner and, you know, advisory firms?
Yeah, this is my favorite spot. And it's where I feel like so many businesses have just a mountain of opportunity they're missing. And that's around the local SEO, and that's leveraging your locations. So you'll notice when you do a search, for example, a coffee shop, you'll see the map show up at the top of it. And it's got usually the three coffee shops that are going to be closest to you. That map area is what we talk about when we say the local search optimization. And so if businesses have physical locations, they should absolutely be looking into the local search optimization and figuring out how to maximize those. We've measured this across hundreds of businesses on our side. And conversion rates are literally almost 4 times better for traffic that comes through that local map pack than any other source of traffic we can drive to a website. It's incredibly powerful, somewhat by design of how that map pack works and how those results show. But focusing on that can be like the number one thing businesses can do to get the phones to light up.
Okay. What about advisory firms? Let's use your dad as an example, or CFO Selections. They cover the whole Puget Sound as well as Portland. They really aren't a local, you know, I want a CFO from down the street. Mm-hmm. What should they be doing?
Well, number one, maximize as many locations as they have. In this example, they've hit some of the major city areas with a Seattle and a Portland location. And then number two, it's content. And that's where for searches where those map locations don't show up, now you really need to have better content that matches what people are searching for. It's a big investment in writing stuff that's interesting, especially about, you know, sometimes some of our businesses are a little bit drier in the content. You know, we can't all be an exciting cryptocurrency or something that gets a lot of buzz. So it takes some effort and some work, but that combination of the locations and content is really kind of the basics of the mix here.
Okay. What about social media strategies for, again, small business advisory firms?
The big thing we see is companies feel like they need to be in on social media. And so they just start doing it and they don't stop and think about why am I doing this? What am I measuring? What's my strategy behind this? And then you end up with things like the Facebook page for your local plumber that's saying Happy Monday. Like, I don't know anyone that like goes and likes the Happy Monday post from your local plumber. So, you know, number one on social media, have a strategy and think about if you're going to be posting this stuff, what's actually interesting or fun, you know, developing a personality around it. You want to be sure, of course, you're measuring the results. Like if you're spending the time to do this, make sure you know why you're doing it and that there's an ROI to it. And then the third piece on social media that actually is really big is what we call remarketing. So the concept here is you do all this work to get people to finally like engage on your social media or to come to your website. Once they do that, you've got an opportunity to like tag them or pixel them. And then now ads follow them around. You know, we've all been to Amazon and shop for something, and then you're on a random website 10 minutes later and you see that exact product you were just looking for. That's remarketing in effect. And that is some of the most cost-effective advertising you can do. They've already been to your website. They know you, they know your brand. You just need to put some more messages in front of them to actually get them over the finish line.
Okay. So for the business that really needs to have good reviews and that people go by those, whether it's Yelp or Google and others, you've come out with an app for that. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah. So the number of people that trust online reviews for their decision, it's crazy high considering these are anonymous people on the internet you've never met. It's over like 80%, almost 90%. And to be honest, we came up with this idea for this app because we had bees in our attic and we found this bee guy and he came by and just like ripped through, got it taken care of, totally professional. And then at the end he said, thanks, see you later, and walked away. I'm kind of like, this was such a great experience. I would leave you a review in a heartbeat if you just gave me an easy way to do this. So we developed an app that we give out for free to businesses that have a single location. And the way it works is that bee guy could have just said, hey, would you mind leaving me a review? He can clearly see I'm happy. So he's not worried, like, am I going to leave a bad review? I say yes. And he says, cool, what's your phone number? I'll just text you a link. You can click that and leave the review whenever it's convenient for you. I said, great. And he just enters the phone number into the app, clicks send, and he's done. And now not only does he qualify that I'm going to leave a good review because it's a face-to-face interaction, but I'm a little bit more engaged as a customer. It isn't corporate company emailing me 2 days later, right, with an email asking for a review that we just like ignore and walk past. It's literally the person that you've interacted with that just offered a great service and is asking for help as a small business. Like a lot of people would do that. So this app, we put it out about a year ago and awesome reception with it. And you know, the impact that it has on businesses can be really incredible for something that is simple and free to put on the phones for you and your employees.
Okay. So if we go back to social media and you talk about content and you're talking writing. I mean, we're talking podcasts like this and video and you know, all the different ways to reach people. What should someone who's, you know, say a non-retail business be doing Now I know for my business, we really have come to a conclusion. LinkedIn is the only real source of reaching people.
Mm-hmm. I'd say the biggest one is don't try to do it all. Don't feel like you have to be across a lot of platforms. I think you're really smart in choosing and saying, we're going to go LinkedIn. We're going to go all in on this. And then give people a few different mediums across LinkedIn. You've got your regular posts, your podcast you're sharing up with them, and work on really building the size of that audience. Most of these platforms, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, all of them look for users that are heavily engaging for the other users on the platform. And so the more you're on there, the more engagement you get, the more interest you get from people, the more those platforms want to continue to surface your stuff. So focusing on really good content and at least dialing in on a single platform to start is kind of where we recommend.
Yeah, that's exactly what I heard on a seminar with a big enterprise social media, you know, advisory firm. And they said, people go to multiple social media things. Don't feel you have to be on 10 of them. Go to a couple and go deep and you'll reach the same amount of people. So
yeah.
It's great advice. What about paid search? And when is it appropriate and when is it least appropriate?
Paid search is one of my favorites. So think about it like this. If I know that I want something or I need something, I'm not going to go to Facebook and say, hey, who knows someone? Or at least it's not very likely I'm going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go Google it. So search is better for people that are more ready to buy and purchase. So we see search more directly correlate to purchases coming through. Social media and some of the other advertising that's out there, think of that more brand awareness. Like you're trying to get your brand or message in front of people, make them start thinking about it, and it's going to be a longer timeline to close that customer. So organic search and paid search is usually where we start with most businesses, with the assumption there's probably people out there already searching for exactly what you do. We just got to put ourselves in front of them and we're going to start getting some leads right away. Then you get into the remarketing. Now that you've gotten them to your website and done that work, now let's do some cheap advertising to keep our message in front of them. And then lastly, you get into what we call the brand awareness. And that's using, you know, paid social media ads to go out to groups of people you think fit your demographic, and it's going to take a little longer to close them through.
So Adam, is remarketing, is that what Apple and Facebook are having a little tiff about right now?
Yeah, they're really having a tiff around user privacy. And so Apple is actually locking down at the device level and they're causing hoops for agencies like us to jump through and modifying how we do some of our user tracking. Marketers always want to know exactly what works and who that ties to and, you know, get to that personally identifiable information, or PII as we call it, versus platforms like Apple and Google Analytics is another one, really like to keep you away from that. They want to keep it more anonymous user data, but still give you information that can be helpful. So that's kind of the battle that's going on, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out over the next little bit, but I'm kind of siding on the major platforms. I think Apple and Google can kind of start to do whatever they want and people will fall in line because they're so prevalent in our society today.
Yeah. So I only have one more topic. If you have anything else, feel free to share it. But what are the biggest mistakes you've seen business owners do? What should they not be doing?
Number one is launching a new website.
There's the odd dog barking right behind you.
UPS guy is here. Number one is launching a new website. So when businesses, design a new website, it's beautiful, you're excited, you launch it, and you don't handle what's called redirects properly, people will see their website traffic dry up overnight. And they go, beautiful new website, why is everyone not coming here? Or why are we getting way less traffic than we did before? So being really careful around when launching websites and doing that properly is number one. And then number two is on the social media side of things. Like I said, you see them just spend money and not have a strategy around it or not really know why. And so thinking through, why are we doing this? What group is this getting in front of? And how are we measuring? And having that in place before you just start going and doing stuff can save a lot of time and money.
Okay. Adam, this is great information. I thank you for putting it in terms that those of us who are not digital marketing experts can understand. That really helps. Is there anything else you'd like to get out as final thought?
As a final thought, I'd say the reviews. Like, it's just something for a business to focus on and think about. One of the things that I recommend everyone do is go Google your business name and look and see what the reviews look like there. That will usually tell you, are there some negative reviews you either need to address or respond to? Or are there some platforms where you just got lower reviews than the other ones and you should take a look at? Know that when someone knows and finds out about you and is thinking about doing business, they're going to go do reference checks. And searching your business name is one of the top things they do. So making sure that you know what shows up when they do that is something really important to think about.
Okay. Well, again, thank you, Adam. And to wrap up, this is Adam Brochi with Odd Dog Media. You can reach them at the website odd.dog or 206-569-8998. One of the, I'll say Seattle, but I know you go well beyond the Seattle with clients, top digital marketing agencies. So again, thank you for joining me today, Adam.
Thanks for the time, John.